Title: Distorted Bass Stability with Resampling Only Advanced. Alright, welcome in. This is an advanced Ableton Live lesson for drum and bass basslines, and we're focusing on one problem that everybody hits sooner or later: distorted bass that feels sick and solo but falls apart in the mix. You know the symptoms. The low end shifts note to note. The distortion changes every playback. Random peaks jump out, and suddenly your master limiter is doing MMA instead of music. Today's fix is not add more plugins. The fix is committing to audio. We're going to use resampling as the main production method. Print it, reshape it, print it again, and basically freeze the chaos into something stable and repeatable. By the end, you'll have a two-layer system. A clean sub that never changes, and a resampled mid-layer that gives you all the aggression, but behaves like a designed instrument instead of a wild animal. Let's set up. First, session basics. Set your tempo in the classic DNB pocket, 172 to 176 BPM. On the master, drop a spectrum so you can see what's happening down low. And if you want safety while you work, throw a limiter at the end of the master with the ceiling around minus 0.3 dB. This isn't final mastering. It's just to prevent surprise spikes from taking your head off while you experiment. One quick warping note. For bass resamples, you usually don't need Complex or Complex Pro. Those can smear tone and feel weird on sustained bass. Later, we'll choose warp modes like tones or beats depending on what we printed. Now we build the sub. This is the never changes layer, and it's the whole reason the final bass feels stable. Create a MIDI track called SUB. Load operator. Oscillator on a sine wave. Keep the level sensible, like minus 6 to minus 12 dB. Give the amp envelope a tight release so it doesn't click. Attack at zero, release somewhere around 40 to 120 milliseconds. If you want extra tightness, you can shape it with a little decay, but don't overcomplicate it. This sub should feel boring, consistent, reliable. Then process it lightly. EQ8, low pass around 90 to 120 Hz. If it gets boxy, a small dip around 200 to 300 Hz can help. Then a tiny bit of saturator, drive 1 to 3 dB, soft clip on. The goal is translation, not destruction. If you heavily distort the sub, you're basically choosing instability on purpose. Cool, now the fun part. The mid source. This is the tone we're going to abuse. Then print. Create another MIDI track called MID source. You can use Waveitable, Operator, Analog, but I'll describe a solid Waveitable starting point. Waveitable OSC1 on a saw or basic shapes. OSC2 on a square, blended in lightly. Add a bit of unison, maybe 2 to 4 voices, amount 20 to 40%. Put the filter on LP24 and add some drive, maybe 2 to 6. Then add subtle movement, an LFO to the filter cutoff, synced at 1/8 or 1/4, but keep the amount small. And here's the mindset. The source doesn't have to be perfectly consistent, because we're not going to let it run live forever. We're going to print the best moments and turn those into a stable instrument. Now we build the distortion chain. This is the chain that sounds amazing, but might be unpredictable if left live. That's fine. We're printing it. On mid source, start with saturator. Drive 6 to 12 dB. Soft clip on. Then add amp. Yes, amp. Choose bass or heavy. Gain around 3 to 6. Adjust the tone controls, but don't boost lows like crazy, because the sub is handling that job. Optional but really effective. Pedal. Overdrive or distortion mode. Drive around 15 to 35%. Tone around 40 to 60. Then EQ8 before compression. High pass the mid around 100 to 150 Hz. Steep. This is non-negotiable if you want your sub to stay clean and your mix to stop fighting itself. If you hear harsh whistling, it's often in the 2 to 5 kHz region, so dip that area if needed. Then glue compressor to stabilize. Attack 1 to 3 milliseconds, release auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, ratio 4 to 1. Aim for 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction on peaks. And finally, an auto filter if you want a bit of movement, band pass or low pass depending on vibe, but keep resonance controlled. Too much resonance is a classic random spike generator. Before we resample, one coach rule that saves you later. Don't mix with the record button. Set the MID source track fader back to 0 dB. If you need gain staging, do it inside the chain, like putting a utility at the top and trimming there. That way every resample pass is comparable, and you're not accidentally printing different levels just because you touched the fader. Now, resample. Create a new audio track called MID resample. Set audio from to mid source. Set monitor to off, so you don't double monitor and think the sound changed. Arm mid resample. And when you record, don't just record one bar. Print 8 to 16 bars. Give yourself options. include calibration notes inside the recording, a steady held note for clean looping, a short stab for punch, and a glide note for portamento transitions. Literally spend a few seconds on each. You're building a future instrument library from this print. Record notes like C1, D1, F1, G1, and maybe a small riff that matches your groove. If you want variation, tweak only one control while recording, like slowly moving the filter cutoff. One macro, one idea. That's how you get controlled evolution without chaos. Once you've got audio, we turn the print into something playable and stable. On the mid-resample clip, find the best segment. If you're looking for stability, don't always pick the loudest, most aggressive moment. Distortion is a liar. Choose the moment with the most consistent mid-range body, especially around 200 to 800 HE. That's what reads big in a full mix. Highlight the segment and consolidate it. Now set warp correctly. If it's a sustained bass note, warp on. Mode tones, grain size around 20 to 40. If it's a rhythmic phrase, warp on. Mode beats, preserve transients, and choose something like 1/16 or 1/8 depending on the rhythm. Then slice it to a new MIDI track. For hits and phrases, slice by transients. For a sustained tone, slice by region so you end up with one clean playable slice. Now you've got a simpler instrument made from your distortion print. That's the big moment, because now, instead of distortion behaving differently every note, you're basically triggering the same printed character on demand. In Simpler, use Classic Mode. If you don't need warping inside Simpler, turn it off for fewer artifacts. Set voices to 1, so it's mono. If you want that roller slide, turn on Glide or Portamento and set it around 40 to 120 milliseconds. Extra advanced tip. Don't leave Glide on for everything if it starts to smear your groove. You can make two Simplers, one with Glide off for most notes and another with Glide on only for transitions. Then you place slide notes on the Glide version. That keeps your bassline tight and still gives you that liquid movement where it counts. Now we do tone lock processing. This is where the resample becomes mix ready and repeatable. On the resampled instrument track, start with EQ8. High pass around 110 to 160 HE, steep, 24 to 48 dB per octave. Remember, the sub owns the low end. If the mid resample fights it, you'll get flubby, hollow bass that never quite hits the same twice. If the top end is fizzy and uncontrolled, a gentle shelf down above 8 to 10 kHE can help. Then multiband dynamics, used as a stabilizer, not a destroyer. The low band should be mostly irrelevant if you already high-passed, but the mid band is the money. Mild compression, ratio around 2 to 1 or 3 to 1, aiming for 1 to 4 dB of reduction. High band, tame harsh spikes. Then a tiny bit of saturator, 1 to 4 dB, soft clip-on, just to glue the tone. And finally a limiter on the mid. Sealing around minus 1 dB, only catching occasional spikes. If you're getting 5 or 6 dB of reduction, you're not stabilizing, you're flattening the life out of it. Quick edit discipline that makes a huge difference. Microfade everything you cut. Anytime you extract a hit from a resample, add tiny fades, 1 to 5 milliseconds. Distorted audio can have asymmetric waveforms and little DC-ish behavior, and those tiny fades prevent clicks that people mistake for instability. Now, arrangement. Stability in D&B isn't just tone, it's groove. So we're going to arrange like a roller. Call and response, plus negative space. Try a 16-bar plan. Bars 1 to 4, simple two-note motif. Leave space for drums. Bars 5 to 8, same motif, but add a fill on bar 8, maybe a quick stutter or a pitch jump. Bars 9 to 12, swap to a second resampled tone variant, keep the rhythm the same. Bars 13 to 16, go half-time for a statement, then snap back. And here's a pro workflow concept, make 2 to 4 resampled variants of the mid. Slightly different distortion drive, slightly different filter positions, maybe a different amp setting. Then sequence them like drum hits. You get designed variation without random modulation. You can even do a manual round robin. A, B, A, C. Same rhythm, evolving tone, still engineered. Another advanced stability trick. A two-note anchor system. Build your playable resampled instrument mainly from the root and the fifth, like C and G. In D&B, that often feels more stable than pitching the same resampled tone chromatically across every semitone. The tone stays in a familiar harmonic pocket, and your bass line feels locked. Now we glue the sub and mid together without destroying the sub. Group sub and your mid instrument into a bass bus. On the bus, be gentle. An EQ notch if you need space where the kick hits, often around 50 to 70 HC depending on key, but do it with intention. Then glue compressor, very light, attack around 10 milliseconds, release auto, ratio 2 to 1, only 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. This is just glue, not a vibe smash. Then utility for stereo discipline. Make everything under 120Hz mono. If your version has bass mono workflow, use it. Keep your headroom. That's how your track stays powerful when the drop hits. Extra coach move, and it's surprisingly important. Phase align timing. Zoom in on the waveform. Line up the mid's initial energy with the sub start. Sometimes nudging the mid track by a few samples makes the bass feel more stable than changing any compressor settings. Your syncing impact. If you want extra clarity on small speakers, you can create a controlled fizz layer from the same resample. Duplicate the mid instrument, high pass it around 1 to 3kHz. A tiny bit of saturation, and maybe a gentle low pass so it's smooth. Keep it quiet. Because it's sourced from the same print, it glues naturally. Now, let's talk about resampling and generations. This is where you get that pro-designed bass tone. Generation 1. Print the MID source through your distortion chain. That's your raw character pass. Generation 2. From that print, pick your best sustained and stab moments. Build your playable sampler or drum rack. Then record a new 16-bar performance of your actual bass line to Audito. This step is huge because now your groove itself is printed and repeatable. Generation 3. Treat it like mix translation. On that Gen 2 audio, do only clean up EQ, light compression, and a limiter, then print again. No lave modulation here. This is the final designed bass asset. And please keep versions as you go. Duplicate the track before each destructive step and label it Gen 1, Gen 2, Gen 3. You'll work faster, because you can revert instantly without rebuilding your whole chain. Let's wrap with a quick practice assignment you can do immediately. Make a 1-bar MIDI pattern in C minor. Start with C1 as an 8th note, then an 8th rest, then G1 as an 8th, then C2 as an 8th, then 2 short C1 stabs as 16ths. Run that through your MID distortion chain. Resample 16 bars while tweaking only one control, like the filter cutoff. This audio version is shortened for playback.